This is Reverend Irvin speaking.
And I want to say hello to you and greet you in the name of Christ as you for this brief time join in this fashion in the worshiping fellowship of the congregation of our church. We remember you and miss you with affection. We celebrated Father's Day this past Sunday, and even though that is not the theme of the service which you'll be hearing, we are very aware of the influence and the importance of our fathers, whether they be living or dead, upon our lives. And we thank God for that influence and for those persons. We ask that God will keep you these days. We know that when we open ourselves to Him in prayer and listen to Him, that He has many, many graces and gifts for us, more than we can count, more than we can number. Yea, even more than we deserve. But it is our prayer and my prayer that God will be with you this day. Lord God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and Father to all who believe in Him, with awe and reverence we draw near to You in these moments of prayer. In spite of Your otherness, we know that You have come very close to us in Jesus Christ. So we are bold enough to approach You directly in prayer. Staggers us, yet gives us great peace to know that in Christ You are concerned and loving about us. How that can be, we do not know, but we have experienced Your love. It has spoken to us, it has touched our hearts. Maybe that's how we know it to be real and vital and transforming. We thank You. We are thankful to You for Your care. It is beautifully shown in the abundance which is part of our lives, in the care of love and love of friends and family, in the guidance and strength that comes to us when we stand in need, and of course, best of all, it is revealed to us in Jesus Christ. We want to be actively grateful servants of Yours. Accept then our spoken words of praise and help us to show forth praise by our lives of devotion and service. Lord, there are some here today who really stand in need of Your help and Your guidance. Indeed, we all do, for in days past, sometime or other, we have made great decisions in regard to our basic commitments of life. We've made promises to You through Jesus Christ. But those promises have become rather dim. And we need from time to time to renew those commitments and make further ones. So help us to find ways that will enliven and keep alive the vital spark that You one time placed in our hearts and in our spirits. Give us the courage to engage in those disciplines and activities which will help to enhance the choices we make for You, and which will lead us into a deeper life with Jesus Christ. May we help each other. May we help those to whom the Spirit has not yet spoken. May we all become vehicles of Your love, looking forward to that day when all men shall love as brothers and when Your kingdom will come in our midst. We pray for the needs and conditions of others. It would be pretty impossible to list before You the individuals and situations which stand in need of Your care and love at this time. But we do remember those who are sorrowful and those who are bereaved. We think about the tempted and those who are weak. We think about the vain and the proud, the hungry and those without clothes. We think of the rich and the poor, the joyful and the sad. We also pray for the leaders of this world, asking You to give them the guidance based on wisdom, not on expediency. Give them charity and compassion which springs from concern instead of hope, from hope of self-gain. And give them the vision of a world united in peace rather than the dream of self-glory. Then too, many who are gathered here have special concerns known perhaps only to them. These cares we now lift to You through Jesus Christ. Be merciful and act out in Your will in every situation, which we now remember to You in silence. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Have you ever been lost in your own backyard? Or do you have a backyard that's large enough? I suppose there's not many people who are that, well, stupid, that they'd get lost so near to their own home. And I suppose that, in fairness to your abilities and intellect, that I'd have to conclude that no one would answer yes to such a question as, have you been lost in your own backyard? One of Jesus' most familiar stories leaves us with a good deal of mixed emotions. Everyone, I think, is glad when the prodigal son comes to his senses and begins to make his way back home and mends his ways. We are, because Jesus here, I think, is seeking to illustrate the capacity of human nature to take stock and to make decisions about themselves. And then everyone, I think, is glad when a father who is nearing the end of his time has his heart worn by the return of a wandering son whose excesses could not have but caused him a good deal of heartache and pain. Jesus probably was seeking to illustrate the overwhelming love of God when someone repents and turns again to him. But we do not quite know what to think of a third character in this very well-known and greatly loved parable. On the whole, I guess we could mark him off as a killjoy, someone who is wholly lacking in the love a person ought to have for his brother. And we acknowledge that it is childish for him to sulk outside while there's a big welcome party going on inside the house. The elder son is something less than admirable, but we almost instinctively feel that there is something good to be said for him and his attitude. Why? Because his attitude is very much like ours. We identify more with the older brother than we do with the younger one. We identify more with the older brother than we do with the loving father, too, alas. After all, this young man had qualities which Jesus had commended on other occasions as being good. He was loyal. He stayed home and tilled the soil. He attended to business while the other boy wasted his experience or his substance. He did a job which was his and did it uncomplainingly, apparently. Nevertheless, one of the things that Jesus meant to say in this story, I think, is that it's perfectly possible to be lost in your own backyard. The prodigals are not only those who squander their money in the far country and in the brothels of the lands. Prodigals are not only those who live riotously and have no respect for anything save their own appetites. The fact is that many decent and honest and respectable persons need the forgiveness of a loving father just as much as those who wander off in riotous living and into the far country. And let's face it, most of us fall into the category of the decent, the honest, and the respectable folk. Our sins are not the sins of associating with harlots, wasting our substance. They're not the sins of eating the leftover husks from the pig troughs. No, we're not like the younger brother. We're more like the elder brother. And so it should be worth our time to see just what the elder brother's trouble was. How can we get lost? How could he get lost so close to home, right in his own backyard? Well, it's plain that the older boy was lost in his own jealousy. Even a brief, quick reading discloses the presence of the so-called green-eyed monster with the older boy. This is one of the most eroding and corrosive acids which attack the human personality. Be it large or small, it attacks, it weakens, and it sickens. Jealousy has more power than anger to temporarily destroy the will to reason and thought. This older boy couldn't stand the thought of someone else sharing his father's love, particularly one who at one point in his experience had rejected that love. He couldn't stand the thought of sharing his home with someone who'd already wasted his share of the inheritance. And so he was jealous over property rights. Jealousy is an emotion which all of us are prone to in one way or another. It crops up and sometimes unobserved to hinder our efforts and to stunt our growth. Some good fortune comes to someone else and we trace envy as it begins to work its way through our system until it engulfs us. The waves of jealousy surge within when life adds something we desire to someone else and we don't get it. And then at times like that and at other times we retreat to the backyard to pout. The night the young man returned home, there was outside in the backyard an older brother sulking, hoping that the father would come out and pamper him. Many adults behave similarly today. So one way we get lost in our own backyard is by being jealous, envious. In the second place, this young man, the elder man, brother, was lost in his own backyard because he felt sorry for himself. We can almost hear him cry, "Nobody loves me. Nobody loves me. Guess I'll go eat worms," as the old song says. This is a cry that many parents will recognize. He was mighty aggrieved because his ego was wounded and his feelings was hurt. Nobody was paying any attention to him, and he was crying in self-pity. And there he was, after all in a dither and feeling real bad and mistreated, and nobody wanted to feel sorry for him. Have you been that way before? Feeling that, gee whiz, things are really tough, how sorry I feel for myself, but nobody felt sorry for you. He wasn't about to let this situation go without making something of it. So he determined that he would feel sorry for himself. He didn't want to waste a marvelous opportunity to gain attention. But nobody paid any attention to him. He was so sorry for himself that he refused to go in and join in the fun. Now we're acquainted with that kind of person, aren't we? Perhaps he's even found in your clothes, in front of your kitchen sink, or behind the desk that you work at, or at the machine where you work. And what is more pitiful than to hear someone bewail the ills and sorrows which they alone must bear? And they bear it by boring everyone they meet time and time and time again. The person who perpetually feels sorry for himself is lost because he's either a specimen of arrested development or he's emotionally ill or both. The older brother was lost in his own backyard. One of the ways he got lost was he was feeling sorry for himself. You can do the same if you'd like and if you will. Then too, the older brother was lost in self-righteousness. Have you ever heard a finer statement of the self-righteous creed than this? Lo, these many years have I served thee, and have never disobeyed your command. But this son of yours devoured your living with harlots. Notice said, this son of yours, not this brother of mine. So he disassociated himself in his purity from the besmirched, even though the besmirched was his own brother. The nursery rhyme says, little Jack Horner sat in a corner eating his Christmas pie. He stuck in his thumb and pulled out a plum and said, what a good boy am I. What a good boy am I. Those could have been words of the older brother. They could be your words too. Look around us. We see the grip of sin. We turn our face the other way and say, what a good boy am I. We read in the paper of some terrible offense that someone else perpetrates and we say, that poor, sinful person. I'm not like that. We come to church, contribute something, share a little, try our best to obey some of our faith ordinances and say, boy, I'm glad I'm not like those others outside who don't come to church. Those sinners, evil people. But you know, Jesus commended the other person who went to pray one day. He didn't have too much to say about the Pharisee who thanked God that he was not like others. But he had a lot to say about the sinner who prostrated himself before God. Now, self-righteousness is totally out of place with a Christian. And I don't know any other sin that so burdens church people today, unless it be apathy, than self-righteousness. Paul tells us that there are none who are righteous. Now, our prayer, our frame of life is, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And of all people who should know that none are righteous are those who regularly come before God in celebration, in worship, and in prayer. Yet, there is so much older brother's attitude within all of us. We often engage in the difficult physical calisthenic of patting ourselves on our own back. It's subtle, though. And while we're stretching our arms and distorting ourselves to reach our back, we stumble aimlessly along, lost in the backyard of our own self-righteousness. Well, if jealousy is one of the most corrosive ways to be lost, and feeling sorry for yourself is one of the most debilitating ways to be lost, self-righteousness is one of the most subtle. And this is surely one of the most common failings of religious people. Paul suffered from it. Luther did. Wesley did. I do. And perhaps you do. And finally, this older boy did not realize that he was lost. He was sublimely oblivious to his own failings. Now, it was plain to him that his brother was lost because he'd gotten off the family reservation. And it's plain to us that many people out there are lost because we know things that they do that we wouldn't do. And so their younger brother had gone away from home, and the older brother knew that he was lost. But he didn't know that in his own way he too was lost. And so it's with all of us. Jealousy and feeling sorry for ourselves, self-righteousness, these things we can readily see in others. We can get lost and not know it. Arrogance is the base sin. Pride is the basic sin of all. And the pious may be as far from the Father as the sensuous. The respectable person may be as far from God as any Skid Row derelict. We need to wake up to this truth in the church, else consequences will be ours. Let us remember, for example, the parable of the Last Judgment and the surprises which it has. Perhaps the most devastating hindrance to the church today is because it has many who are lost in their own backyard and they don't know it. Now, if God could have us as he wants us, it wouldn't be in those high hours when we're winning the applause of the world. It would be in the mood of penitence, for it is in that mood alone that we can be saved from being lost in our own backyard. Will you think about this older brother? We often think about how great the Father is, and truly God is great. We often think about how great it is that some point in our lives, and particularly in the lives of this young boy, he came to his senses and went back home. We sometime or other have made that decision to go back home to God. But someplace along the line, I think that we stopped and partook of the attitudes of the older brother. And when we neared our father's house, coming up through the back field, we came to the backyard, and there we got lost. Let us think about that. And let us let God speak to us through the older brother. Let us pray. Lord, our Heavenly Father, how we rejoice and give thanks to you for your love, a love so wondrously illustrated in this beautiful story which our Lord told us. How we rejoice that you call us and we do hear you and return again to your love and to your relationship. Thank you for that. Help us, our Father, to examine ourselves, and with your guidance and with your help, to rid ourselves of those attitudes which are often seen in the older brother and which we often have in our lives. May we see them as a detriment to full relationship to you. But more than that, and perhaps more important to that in our daily living, may we see them as a detriment to relationship to our brothers and our sisters. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. 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 Before we pronounce the benediction, I want to make an announcement of welcome, and also at the same time to apologize to the Grimeses, David and Diane. They have transferred their membership to this church from Trinity United Methodist Church in Omaha, and I aimed to make note of that for us a few moments ago, but did not. And I want to, on behalf of the church, to welcome you and to officially acknowledge that you're a part of us, which we're very happy for. And I'm sure there'll be others around who will want to welcome you in the same fashion. And now may the grace of God and the peace of Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.